Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Lisa Graves, who is the co-director of Documented, a new investigative website at documentedinvestigations.org. She served as a senior advisor in all three branches of the federal government, as deputy assistant attorney general in the Justice Department, as chief counsel for nominations on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and as a deputy chief for the U.S. courts. Welcome to Background Briefing, Lisa Graves.
It's nice to be on, Ian. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you, Lisa. And it's extraordinary that this whole story about how the Koch brothers could completely rewrite the American Constitution, completely reshape the entire foundations of the United States, and that they're very close to doing it, because there are two ways to alter the U.S. Constitution: by amendments process, which is complicated and takes a long time, and a much quicker process, if it can be pulled off, is to get two-thirds of the states in this country to ratify a constitutional convention. So two-thirds of the states of the United States are 34, and the Koch brothers now have got 28 states signed on, and they're talking to another six states, most of which are Republican-controlled. So they're almost at the point of pulling off this major coup.
Well, that's right. The traditional way our Constitution has been amended, in fact, the only way it's been amended throughout the history of our Constitution, is through amendments that were brought up before Congress and then ratified by the states. So two-thirds of Congress and then ratified by three-fourths of the states. But what the Kochs and some of these billionaires and millionaires are backing is a constitutional convention. And the last time the United States had a constitutional convention, we were operating under a thing called the Articles of Confederation, and there was a desire to strengthen the central government in that document. And so there was a convention called to basically tweak the Articles of Confederation. And in the act of calling that convention, our founding fathers threw out that entire document, basically started over and created our U.S. Constitution. And so back then, if you think about it, those founding fathers, many people have called them geniuses. But the single thing that is particularly different from nowadays is not just that they're so much smarter than politicians of this day, but that there weren't really corporations. There were only a couple corporations in existence in the entire world at that time in our history. And now you have a situation in which corporations are dominating American politics, dominating American elections through these dark money groups, like the groups that the Kochs help fund. The idea that these dark money groups would basically create a constitutional convention, would control, in essence, through its terms, who gets to serve at that convention, and they would dramatically have the potential to dramatically alter every aspect of life in America through this convention process, in which basically the leadership in the states, Republican governors, if they're in those positions, the Republican leaders of the Senate or House or Assembly in those states would be the delegates. And so by having the numbers, if they were able to get 34 states, they would likely already have two-thirds voting in favor of whatever it is they want to begin with, because they would be a two-thirds majority of Republican delegates to that convention.
So the point of the convention is that once it's convened, it essentially takes the United States Constitution back to a blank sheet of paper. That is inherent, is it not?
Yes. I mean, some of the proponents, there are three main groups that are pushing this convention. One of them has been around for a long time. ALEC has been part of that effort. The American Legislative Exchange Council has been part of the Balanced Budget Task Force, Amendment Task Force, the BBATF. But two newer groups have come on the scene, and they're funded with a huge amount of money, and one more than the other. The one that is tied to the Kochs or connected to the Kochs is funded to a much greater degree. And those groups, while they pledge in some ways that this would be a narrow convention, that it would only focus on a balanced budget, for example, or a couple things related to that, the fact is that there would be very little way for any of us to limit what they take up and what they push. Of course, it would have to be ratified by three-fourths of the state, so there's some potential break on it. But the fact is that these guys have had their eyes on changing our environmental laws, gutting them, changing our tax laws, which they partially succeeded with Trump just last year in terms of dramatic changes that benefit themselves to the tunes of billions of dollars, changing the rules for people who are injured or killed by corporations. There's a whole slate of things that they would want to accomplish by, in essence, fiat, through a constitutional convention that they would be they would have politicians who are likely tied to them as the delegates of that convention.
So along with the Kochs, the other group, I take it, is the Texas-based nonprofit Citizens for Self-Governance. Is that the one you're referring to?
Well, there's a Convention of States effort, and then there's a related one that is tied to a Texas millionaire. Both of those groups have been very active in these last couple of years, and in fact, there's a bit of a dispute about whether they can really accumulate these calls for a convention that have been, some of them have been on the books since the 1970s, whether they're sufficiently identical to count up the 34 needed to invoke a constitutional convention. But the problem is that in the meantime, the right wing has successfully taken over a substantial portion of the federal judiciary, including a number of deeply and highly unqualified Trump nominees. And this U.S. Supreme Court has been extremely partisan under the rule of John Roberts. And so I don't think that we can count on our courts necessarily to protect us from a runaway convention, which is what it's called, a runaway constitutional convention.
And what role would the judiciary play in constraining it, if assuming we didn't have the Gorsuch types and Roberts, et cetera? I mean, the restraint, from what I can tell, from what you've told us, Lisa Graves, is that once you have this runaway convention, the Koch brothers rewrite the entire basis of the U.S. Constitution, the laws of the land, et cetera. We're completely screwed. And then that whatever comes out of this runaway convention has to be ratified by, is it 3/4 of the states?
Right. So it's unclear, and quite frankly, this is a situation in which I'm not sure if any of your listeners know this, but just last year, ALEC, which is largely funded by the Koch brothers, has taken up the idea of repealing the direct election of senators. So there's a whole lot of things that they would want to accomplish. They have been after repealing the idea of even having an income tax. That was an amendment to our Constitution more than 100 years ago in the era of the robber baron to try to have some capacity to fund our national government and to do so on an equitable basis, a progressive taxation system that resulted following that amendment. They would, you know, on their list of their wish list, is an array of dramatic things. In fact, if you look at the Koch brothers' core philosophy, the philosophy that Charles Koch really embraced starting in the 1960s, I consider that to be what they called it back then, which was anarcho-capitalism, the idea that the only role of the government is to protect private property, that private property rights are paramount, that that's the role of the military and the police, and that all the other rights or conditions of citizenship should be determined by the so-called free market. And so I have no confidence that these that the Koch brothers or the politicians that have been doing their bidding for the last several years would put American interests first, the interests of the American citizens, the American people, rather than the interests of the Koch brothers and the extreme agenda that they've tried to fuel through funding ALEC and its manifold extremism.
And again, I'm speaking with Lisa Graves, who's the co-director of Documented, a new investigative website at documentedinvestigations.org. She served as a senior advisor in all three branches of the federal government, as Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Justice Department, as Chief Counsel for nominations on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and as a Deputy Chief for the U.S. Courts. But going back to the time before U.S. senators were elected, as a prior to that, of course, they were appointed by the state legislatures. And of course, that was a huge invitation for corruption. And the railroad barons essentially appointed their flunkies to the U.S.
Yep.
Senate from all of the various states. And that was the way it was. So reversing, turning back the clock on that one is so flagrantly corrupt. I mean, it's just breathtaking. Hard to believe they could ever get away with that. I mean, how stupid are we?
It is.
Go ahead.
When you think about it, this is another form of this sort of extreme partisan gerrymandering that the right wing, that the GOP has been engaged in. You have a situation in which they have, you know, dramatically changed the rules for Americans in terms of being able to vote, making it much harder for American citizens to vote, for the American people to vote, making it harder to register, making it harder to have places to vote. And then they have dramatically changed these in significant ways with the aid of computer technology, cut these districts so that basically they choose who their electors are versus the electors, us, choosing who represents us. And this is a natural extension of that, because the one thing that they can't gerrymander is a Senate race, because the Senate is voted on by all the people in a state. And if they were able to repeal that direct election of senators, a profoundly anti-democratic, undemocratic, counter-democratic effort on their part, they would be basically saying that the gerrymandered legislatures in the state could choose who among their peers would do the bidding of basically their funders. As you say, it would take us back to these dark days of the robber baron era. And so that's how extreme, how reactionary the agenda is, that the Kochs and the corporations, quite frankly, that are funding ALEC, are in fact, by pushing these sorts of extreme measures.
Well, already it's pretty clear that Donald Trump is the perfect president for the Koch brothers, because he's completely incompetent, totally passive, doesn't know what he's doing, and will sign anything they put in front of him. And if you look at the record, so of all that's been achieved, if you can use that word, in this Trump administration so far, it's all been the Koch brothers' agenda, including the most recent so-called tax reform. So they are laughing all the way to the bank. At what point do the American people find out these new plans that they have for us? They've only just got started. If you think they're taking over America now, wait till they get their constitutional convention.
Well, that's right, Ian. And I'm sorry I spoke over you before. I was just so excited to talk about it because it's just so extraordinary. I think more people need to know about it. But you're right. When you look at the only so-called accomplishments of the Trump administration, besides instilling a massive amount of fear among immigrants and women and transgender Americans and school kids and others with their extreme policies of doing the bidding of corporations and trade groups like the National Rifle Association, what you see is the legislative accomplishment, so-called accomplishment, is that tax reform bill, which wasn't reform at all, which was basically a huge giveaway to the Koch brothers and to their children and to the children of these billionaires to be able to take home huge fortunes, limit the tax on corporations and on these estates. And now, as you say, Trump really isn't a detail guy. He's basically letting them call the shots. They have a budget that is a cruel budget. That's the Trump budget that's been announced. And that budget, you know, further advances this longstanding Koch agenda to reduce the federal government, to reduce programs that actually help people in this country, you know, just begin the process of privatization. And moreover, the Kochs are actually pushing this massive infrastructure change. The so-called infrastructure bill that Trump touted at the State of the Union is nothing more than a massive giveaway of our infrastructure, our highways, to have more highways be subject to tolls, to have more control of our water resources and natural resources under corporate control through public-private partnerships, which aren't really that really public, but are very private in terms of the profit. And so you have massive giveaways underway, while you have this this deception in which so many of these Trump people, Trump supporters, seem willing to believe anything this man says while he's giving away the store and giving away the future of all of us to advance the Koch agenda, the corporate agenda that the Kochs have spearheaded for decades now.
Well, even if you visit the website of Convention of the States Project, which is one of the organizations in favor of this Constitutional Convention, it says, "I support the Convention of States Project, a national effort to call a convention under Article 5 of the United States Constitution, restricted to proposing amendments that will impose fiscal restraints on the federal government, limit its powers and jurisdiction, and impose term limits on its officials and members of Congress." And then, of course, you find out that they want to get rid of the 10th Amendment, meaning the direct yep. election of senators, and the so-called balanced budget amendment is also a part of it. So they're not even disguising their real intentions, even though, as I say, this has been a stealth operation that's gone under the radar. Just in closing, why is it that nobody is looking at this? I only just spoke with Nancy McLean, who brought it up. I knew about the Constitutional Convention. It's never been used because it's so damn radical. Now it's happening, and it's not just happening. They've got 28 of the 34 states, and they're talking to a whole bunch of states that are very Republican-controlled that are prepared to vote on it. So they're not far from pulling this off.
No, that's right. In fact, Wisconsin was the so-called 28th state, depending on if you go with the accumulated count, and they adopted this, my home state here in Wisconsin. I think for a long time they've been farther away from accomplishing it, but now that they have this control of a bunch of Koch or ALEC legislators in a number of state houses, a number of GOP governors, they think that they can reach this number. And Common Cause nationally has been doing a tremendous job of trying to push back. They were able to roll back previous convention calls in Maryland, Nevada, and New Mexico so that they were able to reduce that. If Common Cause had not engaged in that activity, they'd be at 31 right now. In terms of the 34 threshold that they need to reach, if you believe the way that they're doing the count. That is, if I don't want to concede the litigation potential to try to litigate against their accumulating these conventions, but it's very scary, and their agenda is very extreme. If you look at that Convention of the States agenda, the idea that these guys care about a balanced budget after what they just did through that tax bill, which has resulted in estimates, conservative estimates of $1 trillion addition to the deficit. They don't really care about the deficit at all. What they care about is trying to kill the ability of the government to work for us, we the people, which is why their groups call themselves so-called limited government groups. That's really a fancy way of saying limited democracy. So they want to use this one tool in our democracy, under our Constitution, a Constitutional Convention, to basically limit our ability to regulate corporations, to accomplish these core values of America going forward. I think it's a tremendous threat to our future, to our Constitution, and to the American way of life. And I'm so glad you're raising attention to it, Ian. I really appreciate it.
And just in closing, Lisa Graves, at this moment, four states are on the verge of voting for a Constitution Convention, and that is South Carolina, Kentucky, Montana, and Idaho. So four are literally on the verge of voting, and that would bring it up to 32. They'd just be two state legislatures shy of pulling this off. So people, I think, should get active, and certainly get active in South Carolina, Kentucky, Montana, and Idaho. This is an extraordinary story. It's gone under the radar. And I think it's incumbent on all of us to do what we can to draw attention to the ultimate Koch brothers takeover of the United States.
That's right. And I would be remiss if I didn't say we know that these groups have been reaching out to gun owners and NRA members to try to push for a convention. So the effort to try to enlist some of the people who have the most extreme views of guns in this country are part of the strategic effort of these convention maneuvers. And so it's extremely worrisome and dangerous, the path that they're trying to chart out.
Well, Lisa Graves, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you so much, Ian.
And again, I've been speaking with Lisa Graves, who is the co-director of Documented, a new investigative website at documentedinvestigations.org. She served as a senior advisor in all three branches of the federal government, as Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Justice Department, as Chief Counsel for nominations on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and as Deputy Chief for the U.S. Courts. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back looking into the alarming fact that the Koch brothers already have 28 of the 34 states needed to convene a constitutional convention to rewrite the U.S. Constitution.